very best day is.
ESPN 97.5.
Set no substitutes.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. One in the books, two to go. Plenty more of The Big Show. It is The Usual Suspects on a Thursday here at ESPN 97.5. For those of you inquiring and wanting to know, especially in the 409, we are going to be in your backyard tomorrow at Luke's Ice House.
Can't wait.
In Beaumont, with all the good people that always come out to support us. Might be a little chilly out there, but we'll warm it up if you guys are with us. So we look forward to seeing you.
Did you guys see anything about it possibly snowing tonight?
Yes. And I saw your tweet, and I know you're a wuss.
Are you serious? It's going to snow?
There's a possibility.
There's a forecast.
You know what's crazy is somebody texted the show a billion times, and I got on them about that. But their text was essentially the last two times we've had a major hurricane hit Houston, it snowed. And I was like, it's whatever. And now it might snow tonight. I hate it when
obviously,
they're right.
Obviously, they say it's a possibility, but it's going to be like just like a mist. It's not going to be anything that accumulates.
You ain't building
like
a snowman. You might be able to build like one, like his an ear.
But everybody's going to be on Facebook and Twitter if there is snow. Like even if it's like super tiny.
What's worse, first day of school or snow day in Houston? Because the pictures are just, it's like, okay, get over it. Yeah, your kid wore a new outfit. Great. Yeah, all right. There's a third of an inch of snow. Whoopee. Okay, there's an icicle.
To take this thing full circle, I'm going to tell you where it's going to be even worse than that. On the roads. Because people in this town have no flipping idea how to drive.
I have no clue how to drive
snow.
On
so they're going to drive like they always do, and you are going to see like pinballs the way cars are bouncing off each other.
I'm going to drive fast as I can.
Well, there's this assumption out there that you can drive speed limit in this type of weather, in that type of weather, and you really can't.
And you can also tailgate people. And both of those will be myths that will be dispelled quickly with your bumpers being bent and people going to the ER.
I hope it snows. That's going to be fun. As you can imagine, the text lines blew up after our conversation in the previous segment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody did just text and say, the irony of the whole thing is she was worried about dying. That's why she didn't want to do the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
That's kind of creepy. I didn't even think about that angle of it. That is irony.
It was ruled a suicide, by the way, by the Ventura County Medical Examiner.
Nick sounds like he watches porn. I don't know what would give him that idea. Somebody said the appropriate wait time is 30 seconds. Somebody said when you go to commercial, that's the appropriate wait time. I won't be watching any of her videos because I've seen them all a dozen times already. Rest in peace. Okay.
Jeez.
Watch immediately is fine. Like gingers, porn stars don't have souls. That's not appropriate, sir. And I'm watching right now. All right. And that was the recurring theme on Twitter as well. Several people tweeted me. In fact, Queso Peso tweeted me a picture. I'm watching as we speak. And it's a screenshot of video gamer chick August Ames. And then I won't read the rest of the title because it's all just curse words. But yeah, that's nice. That's good job, guys. Jeez, no respect.
23.
What, 23
that's
minutes?
Like she died.
Oh, yeah. Super isn't that
young.
Sad?
Very
yeah.
young.
Super young, man.
Man, there are a lot of people out here on the world today. I'm telling you, on social media, they don't give a rat's ass. If their life sucks, they want your life to suck worse.
When we talked about the Sports Person of the Year award, and I kind of went on a little rant about the fact that I thought it was stupid they called it sports person and not sportsman. And then I took that and I expanded upon my point a little bit more and put it on Sports Map as well as Houston Sports and stuff today. And I really expected to catch a lot more heat for it, but I felt like my argument was well thought out and it has nothing to do with excluding women in any way, shape, or form. It's just the fact that I think we're being overly sensitive about a specific word that has specific meanings. But I still felt like, you know what, I'm opening myself up to a lot of criticism and people that are just going to be relentless and trying to prove that I somehow have a vendetta against women, which couldn't be further from the truth. I'm just right now, it just seems like we're being overly sensitive about some things, but I mean, that's one of those things. These dudes, these dudes. These people on social media, man, they get it in their mind that they want to take someone down. And it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong or if they're right or wrong.
Right.
They just go after. It's like wolves, man.
I mean, the good thing
it's
for
the
you.
Game.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, the hunt. It's the game. Because you guys taught me a lot about it. Because obviously when you're doing it from how should I put this politely? But you do it from the protective houses of working for an NBA team when you get predominantly 90% are just homers that just want to hear you talk about anything good or decent about that team. You're kind of protected from it. But when you get in a job like this, boy, they come out of the woodwork in a hurry.
Yep.
And I mean, a good thing for you that there, I think there's a good portion of our audience that do have logic. So as long as they're just not, you know, headline readers and they actually read the article and see it through.
Yeah.
I think there's enough people in our audience to respect that.
Well, and I'm not mentally weak and I'm not suggesting that she was or anyone else is, although I think there's a certain part of that maybe you are. If suicide, you feel like, is the only option for someone that's attacking you for taking a stance.
Well, especially if she's getting attacked from the porn industry and people just consuming it. You know what I mean? Like, that's two different worlds and they're both coming at her. That could be overwhelming.
Yeah, but that's my whole point. If I wrote this article and people just started attacking me on Twitter, guess what I'm going to do? I'm just going to shut down Twitter and not get on for a while. You know,
I just ignore what you can ignore.
Some things are out of these people's control. We don't know unless we've gone through it. What are the side effects and what are the symptoms of depression? And if you're going through some things, I mean, obviously we heard Cushing talking about what drugs, you know, he needed because of what he was going through.
That's a good point. It could be a symptom of something bigger.
Yeah. When depression dominates your life, and they did say in her bio that her friends have said that she suffered through depression. So, you know, we don't know what they're going through, what demons they're facing. And some of those are out of their control without the proper medication and or even still that might not be controllable.
Yeah.
So
that's true. Cause I don't have depression. I'm usually genuinely, despite what Joel will lead you to believe, I'm genuinely a happy dude.
20% of the time you are.
Okay. That happens to be your opinion. But those who actually know me. Those who actually know me. Okay, Joel. But you're right in that if you do have something like that, it can really exacerbate the problem that they're having. Someone said, I think you should play some of her best scenes when you go in and out of breaks.
Negative.
I mean, I could do some reenactments.
When's the last time that happened? Oh, when we did the...
That's it. There you go. That's every scene ever.
That was AJ and Fred's bumpers in and out when we did the internet only
show. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that's
true.
And, you know, here's the thing. We're talking about, you know, some of the stuff that you could be going through mentally. I'm not sure what's going on in LeVar Ball's mind. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. I think we all are kind of well-versed on it now. But yesterday he pulled LiAngelo out of UCLA. Now, because of the fact that it was starting to get known out there that he had the agent for Lonzo Ball go out to teams in Europe and say that he has the right to represent both of the younger brothers to try and find a team to take both of them, that it started to become public knowledge. You just screwed them out of their eligibility. Because there's an NCAA clause that says even if you don't have a written agreement, if there is someone out there with a verbal or creating verbal conversation to say they're representing you, you lose your eligibility. So for all intents and purposes, the youngest one could be the most talented, but at least he has talent that could be at some level representative of a five-star recruit. LiAngelo, in the process of this UCLA thing, and at what Woj said the other day was, no way, no how is this kid getting drafted, even if he sits a year.
Yeah.
It's a dad that's screwing these kids out of the eligibility, so at least they have options.
Well, that's what I don't understand is why don't the kids just say, you know what, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Just leave me alone. Let me decide what I'm going to do. I don't want to play with LaMelo overseas. I want to go to college. I want to play. I want to experience college life. I want to do this. I want to be big man on campus. Yeah. I mean, at some point, these kids have to get a little backbone and tell their dad to shut the hell up and leave them alone and let them live their own life.
Yeah, I mean,
I kind of blame it's their own fault at this point.
If LaMelo is 16,
bro, if my mom or dad was trying to do that to me,
at 16, just,
yeah, at 16, I would be like, no, you don't get to tell me how to live the rest of my life, because that's essentially what he's doing. He's taking away what's the youngest? LiAngelo? LaMelo. He's taking away LaMelo's ability to go to college and live that part of his life.
Now, it's an interesting catch-22, Nick. You're right. Because to Barry's point, you want to be able to stand up at 16 and say, look, I'm not doing this. This is what I want to do.
The other kids in college.
Time, factor it in. They're putting the roof over your head. But if you really get down to the brass tacks of it, if he did stick up to his dad, he could say, you know what? You need me more than I need you. You've given me my own shoe, which, by the way, also was going to be in question of whether he could go to UCLA or any other college because he was already had his name on his own signature shoe for Big Baller Brand. But the bottom line is I'm making you money by you being able to use me as one of your marketing spokespeople for your product. So if you go ahead and fight me on this and I decide I'm out, now what?
You know, I'm with you. And I think the thing that you have to, like, you mentioned the youngest one is he's 16.
LaMelo,
But the dude that's in college has every right.
Jello?
To, Jello.
That's what daddy and the boy
Jello
boy
has every
called.
Right to say, dude, leave me alone. And as far as living under his roof, go live with your older brother. He's got money. He probably has enough to get his own house. I'd be like, you know what? At some point, dad, you can't control everything. Yeah. And that's all he's trying to do.
They don't portray, at least the perception is not out there that they're a divided family.
There's got to be a ton of infighting going on.
I think so, too. But I think here's my deal about it. The first thought was, well, you want both of them to play on the same team. And the reason why that's not obviously a bad idea is because over here, at least in the States, you're basically trying to dictate a team's approach and game plan by forcing them to take both of your sons on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
But overseas, perhaps there's somebody, you know, willing to take them both just because LeVar has kind of created himself as a sensation here. In America, I guess I can see that. But the biggest problem is him taking his son out of UCLA and how Joel mentioned yesterday how that's a beautiful campus and how you get a really good education out of that. You know, I mean, that to me is what bothers me the most.
But he wasn't ever going to get an education.
He
was going to be one and done to go make money in the NBA if he was good enough. But at the same time, he could have also gone out and said, am I good enough? They would have said no, and he could have stayed in college and either gotten better
or at least got an education. You don't know that he's going to be a one-and-done guy. That's all of our talking.
But that's what I'm saying. So we go back to where we started, because to Barry's point, dad's going to tell him after a year, whether you like it or not, you're out.
Yeah.
You're going to the NBA,
and you're going to go make money, and this is what I have planned for you, and you're sticking to the plan.
Every scout in America and every GM says, he's not good enough to get drafted.
Well, yeah.
Then you know what his response is? Well, that's good, because then he goes undrafted. He's a free agent. He can sign with anybody. He can go right to the Lakers to play with his brother, because that's my plan. I'm going to get all three of them to play with the Lakers, and you guys are going to scratch your heads and say, how the heck did you get to that point and get that done, sir?
I can't tell you guys how glad I will be when all these people go away. Yes. When every Ball family member is no longer relevant in sports will be one of the best days of my life.
I agree with
Lonzo Ball.
I get so sick of talking about this jackass and his kids.
But this goes back to my initial point. The kids have done nothing wrong, but because of him, they already have two strikes against them, because everyone in the nation, and dare I say even further out, wants to see them fail. They're ecstatic that Lonzo is screwing up in his first year of the NBA besides two random triple-doubles, right? And these other two, if they never make it to the NBA, there's going to be so many people so giddy happy, all because of their dad, not because of them.
They're going to point the finger at him, too. So
yeah.
He's going to get the whole
thing. How'd that work out for you? Take that. Karma. We're going to get Antonio Brown again, just yelling in the background. Karma. Because that's exactly what it is. All right, we'll get back to some football. Fantasy football's coming up next. We got one segment to go before we hit Sigmund Bloom. So that means that you need to get on the phone. Zach is already waiting with his fantasy question. He'll be first up when Sigmund gets on the air at 2:30. If you want to join Zach, you can call 713-780-3776. Or you can do what we've also asked you to do if you don't have the time to be on the phone and you want to get your question answered quickly. We'll do a rapid fire with Sigmund. You can go to the HRP listener line and text us at that same 713-780-3776. Or you can tweet us and we will get those questions to Sigmund and get through as many as we can. Don't go anywhere. Much more of the usual suspects right around the corner. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One brief segment to go before we get to Sigmund Bloom and get to your fantasy football question. So again, the instructions are very simple. If you want to talk to Sigmund directly, you wait until the next break. You start chiming in like Zach is already on hold to do, and you will be first up to hit Sigmund with the phone call that gets the answer to your question. If you have less time and or you want to save time, you just want to either tweet us or text us. You can either text us to the 713-780-3776 number. That's the HRNP listener line. Or you can tweet us and we will get the questions to Sigmund as quickly as we can. There's just no guarantees we get through all the rapid fire because last week we had a boatload of calls as the switchboard was jammed.
It was indeed. Get on the phone lines now is my recommendation. Otherwise, you run the risk of not getting your question answered. Mm-hmm. 713-780-ESPN. Last week was hectic and crazy, so... I fully expect that to continue at least through the playoffs. I know I've already got 20 texts for questions. So, you know, if you want to bump all those folks, you just call in and get your question answered instead. So there you go.
I don't know if you guys saw this or not. For the Win, as part of USA Today, did a poll based on Ticketmaster's analyzed ticket sales data from last season to determine which NFL fan bases traveled the most to watch their teams play away games.
Am I guessing here?
You can. Top 10 is available.
Okay.
And the distance in miles that their fans are willing to travel.
Oh, well, I'm not going to guess distance, but I want to guess the most, the fans that travel the best.
Okay.
In no particular order, I'm going to see if I can get the top three or five. We'll see. Well, we'll just see if any of these land in the top 10.
Go.
I am going to say Green Bay Packers.
Six.
Okay. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Not in the top 10.
Really?
And I'm surprised by that as well.
Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys, America's team, seven.
Really? So I've got six and seven. Oakland Raiders.
The Raiders are three.
Okay. Kansas City Chiefs.
Negative, sir.
Not on the list, huh?
Not on the top 10.
Ugh.
And your Houston Texans, number nine.
Really?
Willing to travel 369 miles to see their team. I disagree with that.
There's a few times that they travel. I would have thought that that it would have been, I think I would have been more accurate with like who would have been in the top two or three.
That's why sometimes you can't believe
Is it because of the, I'm wondering if they made it, because this is based off of miles traveled.
If through Ticketmaster, ticket sales.
So then it's probably an East Coast or West Coast team.
Or take it into consideration. Like we know and we've seen this in the past, but say the Steelers played the Texans.
There's a lot of Steelers fans.
There's a lot of Steelers fans that live. Steelers fan one.
Correct.
There was a guy in my gym last night decked out head to toe in Steelers gear. The people that already live there don't have to travel at all, but they're going to be there in their black and gold to support their team.
Yeah. I do know Texans fans. Like I have friends that are Texans fans that travel with the team and they'll do one or two road trips and it's a big deal.
Well, let me tell you something. That group that travels to the Texans road games and they do it, I think they're called like traveling Texans.
Yeah.
But it's not in the hundreds or fifties. It's like in the it's almost like 1,000 to 2,000.
So is Seattle on the list?
Here's the list, okay? Number 10, Washington Redskins, 355 miles. Number 9, the Texans at 369. 8, the Atlanta Falcons at 378. Dallas at 7 at 382. Then Green Bay at 6 at 387. Your top 5, Minnesota, then the Giants, the Raiders, Seattle, and number 1, the New England Patriots.
Yeah, okay.
And you're right. From the East Coast, West Coast is right there. Yeah, okay. 1, 2, and 3.
That makes sense. Because I don't think Seattle as a whole travels to road games. It's just the fact that they travel the furthest.
I think their fan base with the team's success has gotten more and more passionate. They're a little better at it, but I agree with you. I think the top, I would say in terms of overall, the top 3 to 4 traveling fan bases would be Dallas, Green, in no particular order again, Dallas, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, and the Raiders.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Giants were on that list.
I mean, Packers, too. I feel like the Packers, they're a very passionate fan base.
Yeah. Dallas. Did I say Packers? Dallas, Green Bay, Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I thought you said Dallas, Pittsburgh, and the Raiders.
He said Green Bay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I would say those four, I feel like, are the most passionate, maybe.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. So just threw that out there, and a little another football nugget before we get into fantasy football. And again, in our two work leagues, I know that I still only have one loss in one, and I know that I've caught Nick for the worst record in the other. So at least I'm not in the ass bottom all by myself anymore. I'm 4-9 in one, and I'm 12-1 in the other.
I can make a comeback, right?
No.
Still got time,
Commissioner. No. How did we pick who makes the playoffs?
Oh hell, I don't remember.
Or does the website do that?
You can get me lying. Okay. It's all automated, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think we should renew you as the commissioner next year.
Well, don't worry, because it's not going to happen. I mean, every year.
You say that now.
Every year we get this grand idea to do a fantasy league. I mean, we've been doing it for years on Houston Game Day, and you know we did it this year, and then it just all becomes no one really cares that much. Because there's no money on the line, and there's no prizes on the line. I think if there was a prize or something like that, then it would be
get
different.
Get like a championship belt next year.
Yeah. You think Gal's going to pay for that? I don't think so.
You might.
I doubt it.
You never know.
Hey, there's an engraver now, down on the second floor that can get it done for us.
I can't find the place.
We just constantly bring it all back for you.
But no, that would be cool. That reminds me, Chris Householder on the text line asked about what's the deal in the fat ass fantasy league.
We're working on it.
And we're working on that. And maybe that's what we could get is a belt maybe for each weight class if that's how it ends up breaking out. So we're still fleshing that out. But that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, the notches. How many notches on the belt you can go down by losing your weight, too.
I don't know what that means. Are you talking about on a championship belt?
Like, I'm just saying, like, when we measure, you know, you're not going to measure from this get-go, but
you have to fit into the championship belt to accept it.
Like, if your waist was like a 42 when you started, how many notches you went down? Because all of a sudden when you finished, you're like a 28.
I think the only fair way to do it is percentage of body fat.
I agree with that.
But what I was suggesting is that we give championship belts like wrestlers.
Yeah, that's cool.
For the winners of it, whether it's one or different weight classes or
Josh Reddick.
Or like baseball players. That is correct.
All right, so that's something that we'll consider as we continue to work on that, but that's something that we definitely want to do as a New Year's resolution for the start of the year is get on that weight loss challenge.
We are still talking about it, so have no fear. We haven't forgotten about that. We have talked to our sales folks and our support staff, and we're trying to get everything planned for you guys.
So that's who's at fault if it doesn't come through the way you like it, but we're just letting you know we're all working on it. So we'll have fantasy football next. And
threw them under that bus.
And we'll continue to roll on with your fantasy next. Sigmund Bloom.
713.
Coming up.
780-3776. There's a few spots left. What do we got? Two lines open if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. Grab one of those two open spots. Get your questions answered because we take phone calls first.
Or text. If you can't get through on one of those phone lines, then make sure if you want to get that question answered, tweet us, text us. We'll take care of you as best as we can. We're the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Fantasy, you want to make
it a reality, baby. Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you here until 4 o'clock. It's that time. Weekly, we bring in Sigmund Bloom from FootballGuys.com to answer all of your fantasy football questions, and it's starting to get more important now because the playoffs are approaching. So without further ado, welcome to the program, Sigmund Bloom. Sigmund, how are you?
I'm doing great and just trying to keep up with all these injury situations and changes so we can make the right calls on our Week 14 playoff matchups. But also, you know, this is a time to maybe not overthink things and give ourselves too many reasons to doubt what we know, you know, the good first instincts that got us here to the playoffs.
Yeah, indeed. Is there any specifics that you want to throw out there that folks might need to be aware of?
Well, you know, we're seeing some new injury situation this afternoon with Robbie Anderson, the wide receiver for the Jets that's been red hot, who also may make you consider Josh McCown, even though Denver was a matchup we would have avoided before the season. They've given up multiple pass touchdowns in each of the last five games. We're watching Matthew Stafford. His situation is looking pretty good. His hand is looking better, so I think we can trust the Detroit offense. Joe Mixon is still in concussion protocol. I think we're going to get a Giovanni Bernard start this weekend, and that means he should be in your lineup as Cincinnati's run offense has been doing better. Doug Martin looks like he's going to be back. I don't trust Martin. It makes me not trust Peyton Barber. So that's kind of a bummer. Looks like Chris Hogan's going to be back on Monday night, which is good news. With Rob Gronkowski suspended, that means Hogan could be an excellent play in his first week back along with Danny Amendola. Also watching Zach Ertz in the concussion protocol. If he's out, we might look at Trey Burton as a replacement, his backup. And Delanie Walker hasn't practiced yet this week, so we're going to have to watch that one closely on Friday and maybe on Sunday morning as he's actually playing in an afternoon game at Arizona.
Does that mean Joe Mixon's out in Cincinnati this week?
He's out unless we hear that he's going to play. I mean, it was a Monday night game, so the concussion protocol calendar is going to be shorter for him. He hasn't practiced yet this week, so there's no signs of a positive move in a positive direction for him. So I think it's going to be Giovanni Bernard. He looks very good on Monday night.
All right, we got a full phone board. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in and get your questions to Sigmund Bloom. As we lose the caller, that will open up a slot for you. 713-780-3776. Let's get it rolling with Zach. Zach, what's your question for Sigmund?
Yes, sir. I need a tight end, Shepard Brate or Clay, and then also two running backs out of Drake, Mike Davis, or Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, I'll go with Drake and Davis as a Giants just in too much of a committee there. And I think that if that first option was Brate,
yes.
Then, I like Cameron Brate with Jameis Winston back in there. Detroit also has a lot of trouble defending the tight end. So Brate, Drake, and Davis.
Very good. Back to the phone lines. NASCAR Johnny, you're up next. What's up?
I got a question. It's not pretty. It's a PPR league. Duke Johnson, Theo Riddick, or Mike Davis? Thanks.
Yeah. I like Davis as the starter here, and it's going up against Jacksonville. They're going to try to establish the run, and he's been a good receiver out of the backfield. So I'm fine with Mike Davis out of those three.
All right, Travis, you're up next. Travis, go.
All right, man. I actually caught a bye week, but I don't think I'm going to get to you next week. Do you trust Kareem Hunt versus the Chargers at all next week?
Yeah, the last good game he had was against the Raiders. And Kansas City's offense has been creating more points, at least last week. So I wouldn't say I trust Kareem Hunt, but I wouldn't mind him as a flex play if I didn't have anything better.
All right, three down, three open, 713-780-3776 if you want to get your questions in for Sigmund Bloom. Ernesto's up next. Ernesto.
Hey, flex spot, standard league, Kareem Hunt or Jamal Williams?
In this case, I'll go with Williams. And I know that Aaron Jones had the walk-off touchdown, and the pack has shown inclination towards running back by committee earlier in the season. But Jamal Williams is too hot for them to sit, and it's a good matchup at Cleveland. Go with Williams.
All right, very good. Travis, you're up next. Travis, go.
Hey, I just want to get your opinion. After a porn star dies, how long is...
Yeah, well, that was a good try, but too bad we already had that whole segment. All right. Go ahead, segment.
I can't answer the question, but I don't hear the whole question.
I think it was a segment we did earlier. It's neither here nor there segment. All right, Chris, you're up next. Be mature, Chris. Go.
Yeah, I have three quarterbacks to choose from in a dynasty league. I have Derek Carr, Matt Ryan, or Jimmy Garoppolo. Who should I start this weekend?
Yeah, I would rank them probably Garoppolo third out of that group. Just because even though he moved the ball offense pretty well, it still resulted in only field goals and still trying to get that offense online. So he's the third out of the three.
All right, very good. Jeff, you're up next. Jeff.
I got Brandon Cooks, Hopkins, Death, and Josh Gordon, two out of three standards.
I think as much as I love how Josh Gordon played last week, I can't put him in over Cooks or Hopkins. Cooks has a great matchup against Miami, and no Rob Gronkowski should help him. And DeAndre Hopkins doesn't go to our bench.
All right, back to the top. Gil, you're up next. Gil, go.
Wentz or Wilson?
That was easy.
Not benching Russell Wilson. I know it's Jacksonville, but I'm willing to go down with the ship here. Wilson's in. I have him in a lot of my playoff matchups in my lineup, too, so we'll all ride or die together.
You don't sound like 100% confident there, but you're like, you kind of have to, right?
Well, last year against Green Bay and Tampa Bay on the road in the second half of the season, he just cratered for some reason. So that gives me a little bit of pause, but he's been playing so well, and he has so many ways to hurt a defense that Jacksonville hasn't faced anybody like him. Philly's defense, pass defense, was looking great going into last week, and we saw what happened.
All right, back to the phone lines. Charles, you are up next. Charles, what's your question?
Hey, flex spot, PPR, Devin Funchess or Rod Smith for the Cowboys?
I'll probably go with Funchess. I'm holding my nose for either choice here. Funchess is facing Xavier Rhodes, but Rod Smith's just the backup, and maybe he could get some garbage time work like he's got a touchdown last week against the Giants, but I'll go with Funchess and hope for the best.
Jacob.
You got Matthew Stafford or Jameis Winston, and then at receiver, it's Michael Crabtree or Devontae Adams.
Yeah, it's Crabtree. Got to go with Crabtree here. But I don't think Amari Cooper's going to play. That's another injury situation I didn't touch on. He hasn't practiced yet this week, and Crabtree spent a week. Kansas City pass defense. And I'll go with Winston over Stafford. They're close, but with Stafford coming in with that hand issue, that's enough to break that tie.
All right, very good. Back to the phone lines. TJ, you're up. What's up?
All right, playoff game. I can only start three running backs out of four. Got Jamal Williams, Rex Burkhead, Alfred Morris, and Mark Ingram. Who am I benching?
Ooh. I can't tell you to bench Rex Burkhead right now. Alfred Morris is running really well, and the Giants' defense is depleted. Mark Ingram, I can't tell you to bench right now. All signs are pointing to this toe issue, just being precautionary tonight. So it's probably Jamal Williams to the bench. These are all good options. These are all in my top 12 or 15 running backs this week. Williams is the odd man out.
Yeah, so what you're saying is he's in good shape. Christian, you're up next. Christian, go.
Drew Brees or Philip Rivers?
I'm rolling on the Rivers this week. he's been fantastic the last few weeks, a great matchup against Washington. Drew Brees is doesn't have the same fantasy ceiling every week we've had as that offense runs through the backfield.
Todd, you're up. Go, Todd.
Two quick ones. Derek Carr or Josh McCown, Vernon Davis or Greg Olsen?
Carr over McCown just because of this issue with Robbie Anderson. And also, Carr had a magnificent game against the Chiefs the first time these teams met. I'll go with Greg Olsen. He's practicing. They kept him out last week as a precaution on turf. And with Xavier Rhodes locking up Devin Funchess, Olsen might see a lot of targets against Minnesota.
All right, we got time for a few more. Sean is on the line. Sean, what's your question for Sigmund Bloom?
Hey, I got two out of four. Tyreek Hill, Alshon Jeffery, Josh Gordon, or Thielen?
Hill and Thielen. And I'm not benching Adam Thielen at this point. And I'm not benching Tyreek Hill. You know, that KC-Oakland game was 31-30 last time out. Everybody went off. I expect a similar game.
No doubt. Michael, you're up next, Michael.
Two quick ones. Case Keenum or Josh McCown, and Rex Burkhead or Jerick McKinnon?
Rex Burkhead's got to be in finishing this drive. And Case Keenum. Case Keenum is a top six, top eight fantasy quarterback going forward.
All right, before we get back to the phone line segment, real quick, what's some streaming defenses? I've got a couple of questions that came in on the text line, but what are some options for folks out there from a streaming defense perspective?
I like Dallas a lot this week. They've got Sean Lee back against Eli Manning, who, you know, I don't even know how that Giants team is going to respond after everything they've been through. The Chargers are a good one against Kirk Cousins this week. I like New England on Monday night, even though they're down in Miami, their defense is coming alive. I might look at Detroit against Tampa Bay just because Jameis Winston can get loose with the ball. We've seen Detroit, I think, score five touchdowns on special teams and defense already this year.
Nice. All right, we got time for three more. That would be Clarence up next. Clarence, go.
But Keenan, Mariota, Carr.
Yeah, I'd rank them Keenum and then a gap to Mariota, Carr, and then a gap to Mariota. I don't trust Mariota at this point.
I don't think most people do. Matt, you're the last one. Matt, what's up?
Samaje Perine or Jordan Howard?
Go with Jordan Howard. Cincinnati doesn't control the clock. That means Howard's going to get at least 20 carries. That makes him a much safer play than Perine on the road.
All right, that is it. That is Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. Sigmund, as always, tell the folks how they can get a hold of you and how they can get questions to you in between now and Sunday.
Sure. The footballguys.com message board, I'll start a thread tomorrow morning. I'll post it on my Twitter. I'll answer questions on Sunday morning right up until game time there. And then I'll be on Twitter. I'll be around tomorrow. But the best chance to get me is hitting that footballguys.com message board. We'll do the best we can.
Always a good job. By the way, Lance Zerline has come over to our station. He said to tell you hello.
Oh, yeah. That's great. I got to be talking to Lance again. That's a fantastic addition. And, you know, Lance is someone I've always looked up to in the radio world and been happy to be able to work with.
Yeah, dude. He said he had done your podcast. He's on our morning show now, so we're kicking ass over here.
Sweet.
But as always, Sigmund Bloom, you kicked ass on a Thursday helping out the peeps. We appreciate it. Footballguys.com. Make sure you check him out on Twitter as well. Sigmund, have a good weekend, man.
Thanks. Good luck, everyone.
All right. There you go. Sigmund Bloom, best fantasy segment in the city of Houston each and every week.
If we took an average of how many callers and how many just listeners he gets to in a segment between the three, I mean, we're pushing like high numbers to get to almost 100 in a segment. That's crazy.
And you know what's crazy is all the texts that came in, all the tweets, and we tell you guys day in and day out, the phone calls are going to take precedence over texts and tweets. There's 25 texts that we didn't get to ask There's probably 15 tweets that I have that I didn't get to.
The good thing is you can tweet at him.
The craziest, sorry, Nick, one sec, though. The craziest thing is, for the information he gets you that isn't a question from somebody else that he gives you, he probably answers 20 questions.
Yeah, no doubt. And I always recommend you go back on the podcast and listen, because he threw out defenses that you could stream. He talked about injuries. He talked about why he likes certain guys over others. And it'll just give you an idea of, hey, even if you do have Russell Wilson and you're trying to decide, should I go with him or Goff or whatever, just the feedback that he gives other people in those questions will probably help you make those decisions. So check it out at podcastarena.com.
Just another way we like to give the gift of giving to you, the listeners, that we appreciate so much. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the boys are back, coming off of a monster segment with Sigmund Bloom.
I forgot to ask you my fantasy questions.
Cleared out some space for some people.
I always... Listeners, Barry, it's not for you.
Yeah,
no, but it's always all about Barry. Get that straight, Nick. Yeah. If he's got questions, Sigmund's got answers.
That's the whole reason I bring him on
for
here.
The listeners.
That's the whole reason that I wanted Sigmund in the first place, so I could ask, because I don't trust anyone else to give me advice.
Sigmund Bloom has told him on several occasions, Greg Holland, closer, get him. Just letting you know.
Got to get up all in his DM.
No, but I mean, listening to who he was talking about, I have choices of running back. I have these are some names he threw out. I have, I have Tevin Coleman and Derrick Henry, but on the bench I have Doug Martin and Giovanni Bernard and Amir Abdullah. I was like,
You got three guaranteed starters on the bench.
Yeah, and then I don't know, do I sit Randall Cobb and maybe add a third running back?
You want 1/4 of 84 yards? You go ahead and do that.
But they're playing Cleveland.
They are, and Cleveland's bound for a win, which would really kick me in the nuts just for the overall season.
I think I'm going to, as crazy as it seems, I'm going to bench Tevin Coleman because they're playing New Orleans, and he's definitely the number two back now on the Falcons again. So I think I got to ride with Martin, Derrick Henry, and Giovanni Bernard. Ugh,
good luck with that.
That's scary. At least I got Tyreek Hill and Julio Jones.
I just want to know if Zach Ertz is going to play or not.
Yeah, that's a good question too.
But we had so many questions, I didn't feel like being selfish and throwing mine in there.
Well, sometimes you got to be.
I guess. I did want to mention this bit of disappointing news, I guess you could say. Very depressing news if you're a Steelers fan or just a fan of football. Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier, who got involved in that ugly play that caused him the back issue the other night on Monday Night Football against the Bengals, underwent spinal stabilization surgery after that severe back injury against the Bengals. The Steelers would offer no further updates on the matter, but it is done with the intent to stabilize the spine when there is some evidence of instability there, according to ESPN injury analyst Stefania Bell. The procedure involves the insertion of some internal fixation using hardware to stabilize the segment of the spine, which presumably gives a person the best opportunity to allow neurological recovery to continue. That doesn't sound good.
None of that sounds very good. No, you're right.
Let's hope for the best. At this point, you don't care if he plays football ever again. You hope he can walk.
Yep.
You hope he has a healthy life the rest of his life without limitations. But, man, That one, again, for someone that didn't go for the head, that didn't, you know, do anything illegal, he just had his head down. That's unfortunate, man. But that's kind of the risk you deal with when you're playing a violent sport like football, I guess.
Indeed. I'm looking at so ESPN has our rankings each week for fantasy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I was like, well, maybe I can glean some information about these running backs. And as I'm scrolling through the list, like they have Devontae Freeman at number 8. So he's clearly well ahead of Tevin Coleman, who I think I saw him at 31.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Guess who's number 9 on this list? Lamar Miller. kind of surprises me a bit that Lamar Miller is the ninth highest running back.
Well, the only thing I would say is, aside from a dinged up blue, they got no one else. So well, if they're going to run it at all, he's going to get a massive amount of touches.
I guess. And does the 49ers, does that help as well?
I don't know, because, you know, don't sleep on the Niners. As we've talked about throughout the season, yeah, they've lost a lot of games, but they've been in a lot of games, and they've had a lot of close games. I think they're way head and shoulders above where the Browns are in terms of comparing the two teams. Huh. And I think in the first year, I think Shanahan's done a lot of things to get that team on the right track, along with John Lynch, who I don't think anybody at the start of the year would have thought he would have had a guy that had a clean, firm grasp on his, that general manager's role yet. But I give them credit. I think they're farther advanced than the Browns for sure.
Yeah. I don't know about... it's so weird because just a few years ago, you felt like the Browns might be turning a corner, and then they just continue to get worse. And I'm hesitant to think the same thing about the Niners. But adding a quarterback that might actually be worth something could be a good start for them. Better than the Browns have had.
Speaking of the Browns, you saw the news today?
What news?
The news out of Cleveland is that they have fired Sashi Brown, their executive vice president of football operations, and also the guy that every finger pointed to in terms of the guy that screwed up the A.J. McCarron trade right before the trade deadline.
You mean the genius he's that went out and got Brock Osweiler?
Yeah, he's out, although he is the genius that stockpiled a hell of a lot of picks.
Yep.
Okay?
I mean,
he's the guy that came from baseball.
Yeah, I thought some of the moves that they made and the way that they stockpiled those picks is good. I thought it was pretty smart on their part. But when you don't do anything good with them,
I think when you become a phrase like the Browns being the Browns again, when they screwed up the McCarron deal and all fingers point to you, I think that's when they start showing you the door. So they said he's the first to go. There might be more on the front office side to clear out people that he brought in. They're going to get a football person to run the organization from a football perspective going forward. And in maybe a little bit of a surprising bit of news, head coach Hugh Jackson will be back with the team in 2018.
That's very surprising.
Yeah. So there will not be a vacancy at head coach in Cleveland going into next year. Let's see what they do with all those draft picks.
You remember when the season started, how hyped everybody was for Kareem Hunt and how he was just going off?
What was it, 260-some-odd yards in the first season from first game from scrimmage?
Yeah. He had 100, just rushing yards alone, he had 148. He had another 98 in receiving yards. But since then, when they were on that five-game winning streak, he had rattled off 81 yards, 172, 101, 107. Since then, he hasn't topped 87 yards. He has zero touchdowns rushing or receiving, and the most he's caught from a receiving yards perspective is 89 yards. Cooled off quite a bit. Coincidentally, they've only won one game since then as well. After that first 5-0 start, they won the one game against Denver. But it's funny because it was almost like he was a shoe-in, and now all of a sudden I think a lot of people think Kamara might be the guy to win Rookie of the Year. Yeah.
And a lot of people who were half-kidding, tongue-in-cheek, said Deshaun Watson could still win Rookie of the Year, even though he quit playing about the midseason point. But with the way Hunt's fallen off, who they thought was the runaway winner, he'll probably get plenty of votes.
Yeah.
You're right. Kamara will be the late push that probably gets it. Because it was funny. And the same thing that can be said there can be said about the Heisman. Nick and I were talking about it this morning. The fact of the matter is, Saquon Barkley, a month ago, was hands down the leader in the clubhouse for the Heisman. He's now not even invited to the ceremony.
It's crazy.
Two quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, along with...
Baker Mayfield,
mm-hmm. and then the running back Love from Stanford. That's it. Only three guys this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
From a numbers perspective, Hunt has 1,297 yards in total offense. Mm-hmm. Kamara has 1,220. And it wasn't even close at the beginning of the year. It wasn't even close. So Kamara's really turned it on. He's got seven total touchdowns compared to Hunt's four.
And did you just see the hit he took at the goal line last week kept going?
Yep.
That shows you the determination that guy's got.
He's a bad dude.
I wouldn't bet against him at this point.
He is a bad dude.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. We got two in the books, one more to go of the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects in hour number three coming up in mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5. The foaming in a straight line.
They're going through a top one. ESPN 97.5.